Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Cybersecurity Executive Matter, the podcast. Today, I'm on a completely different mission again. Today, we're not just talking about cybersecurity, but I want to introduce you to a great book. I was invited by David and his team. They have released a great book, and there are various chapters. And I thought, especially this book, IT, for beginners is part of my DNA, because I am here to exchange knowledge, to exchange ideas with people, and above all, to see how we can perhaps also make such topics accessible to young people. Better, or rather, also highlight them. And therefore, I am even more pleased to have been invited. And maybe, David, tell us a few sentences about why you made this book.
I've always done this professionally. I translate between the specialist department and IT management and IT. I've noticed that if you explain it simply, people understand it, a child and also the man. And at some point, I started creating content from it on LinkedIn and noticed that if you explain it simply with analogies like IT is like Lego or IT projects are like gardening, people understand it and appreciate it. And you also bring knowledge into target groups that you hadn't reached before. So even HR people have liked my posts. So people who really weren't from IT, I realized, oh, there's a need to explain it simply so that everyone truly understands. And I positioned myself as an IT interpreter on LinkedIn, and I noticed there are quite a few of them. There are many who explain IT simply within their niche. And I've wanted to write a book for a long time, and I thought it would be such a big project to write it alone. And then I asked a lot of people, or did digital codes, over 150 last year. And then I asked people, are you interested in writing a chapter? And there were a lot of yeses, and the top people are involved. I'm happy that everyone is on board and that each has written their chapter in their niche. For beginners, from big to small.
You've already mentioned it. Now there, as are already six people here, but there are many more, authors. What was the challenge for you in managing the whole thing?
At the beginning, I thought it would be easier if I didn't have to write all the chapters myself. But it is, of course, a completely different challenge. And that's where my project management skills really helped me. So I wrote an email. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had any time to write a technical chapter. So I was the classic project manager. There were time restrictions. There were service providers, both good and not so good. Like an IT project, it was an IT project plus a book project. But we managed to pull it together. And like sailing, in the end, is not just about getting from A to B, but also carrying the spirit with you. And I believe we all did that. Everyone contributed to maintaining the spirit, ensuring that everyone wanted to bring the ship to the high seas and ultimately wanted to have a book. And now we have a book. I'm still amazed that we finally have a book.
I find it super exciting, especially because there are so many different chapters. And maybe we can show a short sneak peek for those who might not be able to join us today. Of course, also gladly provide the link to the book. I'll include it in the description. It's really a great book. And let's start with an exciting topic, which is actually my passion, namely IT security. And some of you might already know this person as they have been on my podcast before. We've known each other for quite some time now and have worked on projects together repeatedly. Adrian, I'm really glad to see you here again today, but why did you write a book?
Well, so that the things that no one else pays attention to are shared. So that's why I specifically chose the chapter with one of my specialties, which we also talked about on the podcast, physics and security. And that's why my chapter is about the burglar.
Tell us a bit more. What can the reader expect in your chapter?
A simple story, not technical jargon or a list of things to consider, but a relatable story about how the son of the family, who carries the entire story, manages to visit his father and essentially breaks into a high security area, in quotes, without even knowing that he's actually doing it. And then step by step, he gets the feeling and more signs that this shouldn't have worked. And ultimately, it's really derived from the events we've already talked about, and which I have done much more frequently last year, including in banks.
For you, a bullshit bingo is never part of your topics, in quotes. That's why I already know, without having read it in detail, that bullshit bingo is not the case. But you also said you package it as a story. Do you think it's just better for the reader to understand such a complex topic like IT security, which we've talked about often?
If I want to reach a broad audience, I simply can't delve too deeply into the subject matter. And that's the point. So David provided the best example for me. He read it to his son. And his son thought the story was cool and wanted to do it too. And that for me, that's the proof that the storytelling worked, that the story fits as a whole. And that one understands. That could be me. And exactly this know-how should also reach all areas, whether it's recruiters or IT, that you simply get this perspective, because we don't do anything different either. We walk through buildings, through companies and other places. Simply with the point, well, I shouldn't have done that now. So that shouldn't have worked now. Someone should have stopped me here. And this is very often present in everyday life. And when we talk about IT security and security awareness, I have to include all employees, even the people in the warehouse. I have to train everyone. Make it clear. Why the hell should I be careful so that I can prevent exactly this kind of thing that a little boy... I don't want to spoil further, but highly sensitive information. Gets hold of a bank's sensitive information and walks through the company with a friendly smile.
So you're hearing an exciting story. For those who want to know more, of course, feel free to check out the book. Then we'll continue with the next topic, which is also an absolutely exciting topic for me because it's an underestimated one. Matthias, you chose the topic of IT architecture. I hear this again and again, as I'm also a trainer in various areas. And whenever the topic of IT architecture comes up, people say, oh, that's a dry subject. What do I want with that? What do I need it for? IP address calculation and network setup and oh, and this and that and the other. And I always say yes, but that's the foundation you need to know in order to understand how IT works in the end. How did you address this in the book, or rather before you answer that question, what was your intention in participating in the book?
Well, as you just mentioned, the topic is difficult to convey. And I had that feeling too. And when David approached me and we got to know each other and he told me that he is an IT interpreter, and that really resonated with me because at that time I was also deeply engaged in figuring out how to actually convey IT architecture. How can I explain the topic to someone who doesn't have much to do with IT? And the second question, how do I convey it? For me, IT architecture is a bit like, I also thought a bit about, what do I call the whole thing? Because it's not just about networking computers, Gene, but also about how software systems work together, how, like a real structure, how do all these things work together? And it's not just the IT aspects, but also the people working within it, the processes that have been defined. Everything has to work together really well. And that's what I'm trying to convey in this chapter so that everyone can understand it.
Do you also think that the problem with IT architecture is how we actually pass it on? Well, I also keep seeing the issue. Nein, especially when looking at vocational training, study areas, or even just further education. I am also a trainer at a further education provider, which essentially promotes career changers. And I repeatedly see the problem that people try to build the house with the roof, but not with the foundation. And especially in architecture. So simple example, OSI layer model and so on. These are all things that people are tired of hearing about. But these are the things you need to understand in order to ultimately draw the big picture, or rather to understand the big picture as well. Is that also a part of what you start to say in the book? Okay, I don't start with the roof, but with the foundation.
Starting with the roof, you bring up a very good point because the story is about two women. One is an IT architect and has exactly this problem. How do I convey this? And his friend is a roofer who knows very well how to build a house and understands that I need an architect and a good foundation to really build the house upwards so that a roof can be put on in the end. And I think that's very often the case when building IT. It's often not so exciting that I have to build something on the foundation, change something, or enlarge something so that I can build even more on top or without it collapsing.
And above all, don't forget the roof tiles, I can say from personal experience. Thank you. Now we come to another exciting topic, also a matter close to my heart. I always say we need more women in IT and especially in cybersecurity. And now we have Freya here, who has taken up a topic in the book, namely women in tech. And for me, it's always a topic, and as I just mentioned, especially women in cybersecurity, We need more diversity there. We also need more visibility, because these are super exciting topics that cannot be simply equated. Why did you write the book, and above all, what story do you want to tell? To tell in the book?
Yes, exactly. So I wrote the chapter Women in Tech because I also believe that women need to become much more visible in the tech industry. And everyone needs role models. So the sooner we can start and the sooner we can tell the stories of women who are successful in the tech industry, the better. And exactly, that possibly happens in the evening when you read a story aloud. And tell about the amazing women who have been and are in the tech industry. And to bring this out even more, that was very important to me. So, not necessarily to portray women as victims, but rather to show folks there are such amazing women who have achieved so much. Let's talk about it.
You just touched on an important topic, the victim role. That's always a topic for me as well. Where I also like to talk to people and say, why do you justify yourselves? Why do you justify saying, I am a woman and a man doesn't have to do the same? And I find that so, it's a shame that many women then put themselves in this victim role and say, I have to explain this now because I am a woman. And I always ask myself, why do you actually do that? Because that's not the way one should actually argue. Is your chapter also a bit of a wake-up call to women?
Yes, absolutely. So a wake-up call, exactly, and simply to develop a different stance. As you already said, not to belittle oneself, but to confidently stand by the abilities one has and can contribute.
Great. Then let's continue with another chapter, namely about the topic of artificial intelligence. Or do we still have IT support? Not that either? Okay. You see, nothing is scripted. We're doing this freely. But I think you understand that too. So let's continue with IT support, and specifically with you, Christian. You took over the IT support chapter. Why did you take over the chapter?
Well, so for one, there's always a story I like to tell. I was always very technically inclined, including attending a technical high school where I took advanced German. I was always a bit laughed at for that. But ultimately, when David came to me, I thought, okay, now the circle is complete. Now you know why you did that, because now you're writing a book. On the other hand, it's of course a great opportunity to just try something like this out. And what I noticed while writing is simply that this topic is relatively negatively perceived. What I then tried to do was to clarify a bit, because everyone knows the saying, have you tried turning it off and on again? Everyone has heard it at some point, and it has probably solved a problem for everyone at some time. Therefore, it shouldn't be perceived so negatively how one might perceive it, because ultimately they are just people who want to help us.
Do you also feel that IT support is often put into a certain category? I always see it like this. IT support is not a standardized topic, but everyone understands it differently. And in the end, many people always think that it's just first line support and that's IT support.
Yes, that's definitely a part of it. And ultimately, we have to be individual in this area because we are dealing with people and we are not all the same. But of course, there's much more to it than just first line support. Like, for example, keeping everything running in the background.
And your story? Would you like to talk about it again?
Well, getting started wasn't that difficult because I think everyone has dealt with IT support at some point. Has. It's about the father having a new app and getting a bit annoyed with it. And ultimately, the daughter asks, well, why are you annoyed? And that's how we get into the terminology that he now has to call IT support and similar things.
Super exciting topic. Let's continue with another topic. Next to me is Nikolai. And Nikolai, you have the topic. Programming languages plus cloud? Right. First of all, the question, why? Programming languages plus cloud?
These are two chapters, programming languages and then cloud. I actually wrote two chapters. And first, David came to me and asked, don't you have an idea for a chapter? And I said, yes, legacy. And then he said, yes, well, that's a great topic. And you also have a lot of expertise. It's IT for beginners. That might go into the next book. And then I thought again, what is the target audience? Okay, people who should perhaps also be more familiar with IT. And as a developer, that can get on your nerves. Then a recruiter calls you up. And then he asks, yes, here, can you do Kafka? Can you also do EventBus, by the way? And I think I just said, yes, of course. Because we take these terms for granted, and I want to help people with these chapters. What is actually cloud? What can I imagine it to be? And what language does the computer speak, and how difficult is it?
Isn't the first topic that you need to clarify what the cloud is? Because that's where you start. What is a cloud anyway?
yes, that was a challenge, and it needs to be explained because I've often heard people talk about cloud in context, and they want to achieve very different things. And some talk about it as if it's everything and also nothing. And sometimes I feel like they don't really know what cloud actually is. And when you read into this chapter, you actually know why I use cloud and why I don't use it. And where is the actual boundary of cloud?
And with programming languages, is it important for you to show, especially to beginners, hey, there are programming languages that are easier to learn, harder to learn? Or what was your focus, particularly regarding programming?
Yes, my focus was indeed, since I only have one chapter for it, and I know there are better books that explain it completely. I wanted to show people how easy it is. In that chapter, you already have an example to try out. You can even try it out without having to install anything complicated and see, hey, this is easy. And I just hope that somewhere a child sits down and says, this doesn't look so difficult. I'll give it a try. And hey, it works. And then starts to play around because that's the moment we've got them. Then they've fallen into the trap. Then we have the next enthusiast.
And what I've also noticed time and again is that there are factions, and I count myself among them. I hate programming because my problem is always that if there's a semicolon or a comma or whatever that's wrong somewhere, and the decompiler can't find it either, then I sit there for hours. But there is also the faction that says, I find it super exciting and I would just like to understand it more. And I find that in the market, there's always the problem of trying to pave the way again, to pass on this expert knowledge simply through a lot of expertise. But instead of thinking about it, you have to start with the basics first. What are variables, for example, and how do I handle them? Because these basics are the same in many programming languages.
Yes, that's actually true. And you also mentioned an interesting point that you can forget about columns, for example. You can forget about it in Java, but there are also languages where you don't forget it. You can apply it and they forgive you if you don't do it. That means there are indeed languages that are not so strict, where you can get started much more easily. And these basics you just mentioned, in the legacy context, when I talk to a company and a team, sometimes I focus exactly on these fundamentals and say, yes, well, so actually it works a bit differently. And I explain that again, because when you understand these basics, certain problems don't even arise later.
Great, thank you. Maybe back to you, David, because I just tried to skip it, but there are still other chapters where unfortunately the colleagues are not present today. Tell us, what other exciting chapters are there in your book?
Especially very exciting for your listeners. We have a second IT security chapter by Sven Schmidt, who unfortunately cannot be here today due to family reasons. He writes about computer viruses. Very illustrative. Again, the daughter, the family daughter is involved. So to sum it up, we don't have 10 different stories that have nothing to do with each other, but there is a common thread. There is a family of four, which means a boy who is 8 years old and a daughter who is 11 years old. And all four of them stumble upon IT topics in their everyday life. And the father discovered a computer virus and the daughter immediately says, oh God, do we have to wear masks now? Can we get infected? Does the computer need medicine now? So really, when a child hears about a computer virus for the first time, it's very illustrative that everyone can relate to it.
It's certainly easier to understand after Corona.
Yes, definitely. So, yes, everyone is involved. It's been 5 years now, but everyone still has it in mind, especially with the current cold wave. And the second interesting chapter is artificial intelligence. That's, of course, the trending topic right now. And I found two very talented authors for that. One is Cedric Musner, who many probably know as Morpheus from YouTube, and Rachel Zilker. Rachel has also been an AI consultant for several years, and she even has a second career. She used to work in 2D and 3D game development and graphic design. And if you see it, our cover, our book, we have benefited so much from Rachel far beyond just her chapter. The chapter was originally intended to be a complete comic, but since content also needed to be included, we toned it down a bit, meaning more text, but we all thought it was so cool. And the other chapters are simply written, but relatively text-heavy. And then Rachel came from behind, turned the tables and said, let's do it. Create chapter graphics. And then later, it even made it onto the cover. So we originally had a different, relatively simple cover. Yes, and not only is AI great, explained. AI is explained in such a way that the boy enters an AI factory, very futuristic. You might imagine it as if he's dreaming that a robot takes him along. And AI explained. So Cedric and Reggie explained it really well, explained. And the graphics are amazing. And I explained it. We are a creative team. Sometimes it's overwhelming for me. I wanted to get the thing through the door. There were always great ideas coming in, but I have to admit, Adrian and others had great ideas. The t-shirts, for example, are basically inspired by the chapter graphics. We have stickers, we will have other merch, and the creativity has complemented everything perfectly. So not just a technical book, but also edutainment. And something for the eyes, and for those who want to take something home.
Now, I might have a little secret that I can reveal exclusively for my audience. Will there be a second part?
That has not been decided yet. That, we can decide that at Christmas?
Yes. Well, I was very pleased to meet you both here today and to learn more about the book. I think what you can see here is that it's really a book that doesn't just contain a chapter on a specific topic, but many different chapters. As you already mentioned, everything is connected by a common thread. Also, everything without any buzzword bingo guarantee, but truly accordingly. Cleanly, structured, and above all, understandable for every beginner. And maybe your final words. Where can one get the book? From when is it available? Can it be purchased now? Maybe the information again for everyone who says, hey, I want that book too.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk about it briefly again. It is a community project, a LinkedIn project. Our community has supported us, and that's why the ebook has been available for pre-order for a while. For the price of a kebab, for a cheap kebab price, I've even been told, €5.55, it has been available for pre-order for a while. Nikolai has it in hand, the paperback, and there will also be a hardcover starting from the 12th, March, so next Wednesday, via Amazon.
Yes, and I can definitely recommend the book to you. It's not an advertisement for me. I was invited, I give you that transparency, but I'm doing this out of passion. And because I simply stand behind the project and because I find the project great. Also, I thank you for your time. That was it for this special episode of the Cybersecurity Chef Sake podcast. As I said, take a look at the book and I wish you a nice day. See you then.